Good morning. It's a blessing to see so many here. I want to welcome you all. Thank you for coming. I was asked to have a little opening meditation. Been very blessed with the singing. It's a form of worship, and I enjoy it. My heart and desire would be that the Father would hear us singing. That our worship would be pleasing to Him. I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank the brothers that have been laboring in the Word, that have been witnessing to us. I've been richly blessed by the messages that we've been hearing across this pulpit. I don't think I was chosen that anybody thought I could do any better, but I think they thought it's my turn to try to witness to you. I think the words that are spoken were very important, but I think something that made a big difference. Was the heart that these words come from. They come from broken hearts, humble, contrite hearts that spoke to us. Hearts that are seeking God, desiring truth and righteousness and holiness and godliness. Thank you, brothers, for having that kind of a heart. Witness this. I've been humbled, to say the least. One hanky almost didn't hold the tears for a few days. But God bless you. If you would be so kind as to stand once more for a word of prayer. We come before our Father and ask Him to be with us today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Almighty God. We cannot express our thanksgiving to You for the opportunity that You've afforded us again this day, that You've brought us together in Your love and Your kindness and Your goodness. Oh Lord, that You would perfect us to the beauty of holiness and godliness and truthfulness. Through Your Word and through Your power and through the Holy Spirit which You so freely give. Thank You, Father, for loving us. We would today that You would feed the sheep of Your pasture, that You would be with us, that Your peace would be upon us, that Your peace would fill this house, and that You would anoint the lips of the servants, that we could speak the truth and that we could speak love and kindness to each other, and that we would grow in the Spirit and truth. And in love, help us, Father, that we can deliver, that we can be in You and You in us, that we can abide in You. And we just ask You that You would continue to guide and direct our thoughts, our minds, and our direction. Thank You, Father, for Your loving kindness. We just pray all this in Your holy, precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if I've ever asked anybody to title any of my message, but you know, Jesus's purpose for coming. We see here in Luke, the end of chapter 3 and the end of chapter 4, we see Jesus Christ. We see Him baptized. We see the Holy Spirit ascend upon Him in the form of a dove. And we see from there where He was led, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led into the wilderness. He was tempted 40 days and 40 nights by Satan. Still without sin. Then we see where Satan leaves Him for a time. He just lets Him alone. And we see Jesus after he comes out of the wilderness, out of the temptation, and Satan leaves him alone. We see him going to Nazareth. I guess, you know, maybe that doesn't mean so much. But on the other hand, I'm thinking he's going home. He's going to visit where he grew up. Where he going? Maybe he went back to the carpenter shop, took a look around. Maybe he visited his brothers and sisters. Maybe his mom was there. Nevertheless, he went back home. I knew there would be a lot of people that he'd recognize there and such. You know, when you pray for brokenness and you don't get it till you come up here to speak, let God be God. When I was preparing for the message, I would like to add a lot more brokenness, but I've got it now. So please bear with me. We see when he comes to Nazareth, where he's rejected in his hometown. I think he received his first rejection that I can read of or think of right now in Nazareth, where he grew up. We see where he went into the synagogue and he stood up to read. I don't know by what custom that would have been. I don't know how they chose who would read. I don't know those things, but nevertheless, Jesus stood up to read. It said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he was anointed to preach the gospel. What a blessing to have the Spirit of the Lord and to be anointed to preach. And I must say that I believe that we have many people around us that have been anointed to preach the Word of God. It sure is a blessing. But we see here in Luke 4:16-22, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And where there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and receiving of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." The gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. We see here that the gospel was preached to the poor. You didn't have to be wealthy. You didn't have to have any sum of money to hear the gospel, nor to receive it. It was there for everyone. It was for the lambs and the sheep. Nobody was too big or too small. I guess he could have probably been too big, but we couldn't have been too small. But you know, today we can be poor in many other ways too. Not just wealth. If we don't have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in us, we are very poor. You know, he came to heal the brokenhearted. You know, I'm sure that many of us have encountered things that we've almost felt like our heart was breaking. We've been we've been brokenhearted. I'm sure some were last night. But you know, he came to heal those too. If we put our trust on him, he will heal that broken heart for you. He'll make it like new. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. You know, many of us were bound by Satan. We were captive. We were in bondage. But Jesus can deliver us. He delivers the captives from those bondages, from those things. This morning in prayer at the prayer room, there was a prayer made that said that their desire would be to lift up Jesus today. And that would be my desire here also this morning, to lift up his name. He came to give sight to the blind. You know, we have people that he did really give, people that were blind as we would think of today, that could not see. But there's a blindness. There's a blindness that's much darker than those people that can't see. But he can give sight to those too. In Christ Jesus. At one time I remember being blinded to the truths of the gospel. I could read it. I could try. I wanted to live right. But I was blinded. But praise God, today I can see. It was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that gave me this hope. He sets those at liberty that are bruised. Bruised means crushed. Those that are crushed, those that are hurt, those that are broken. He sets them at liberty. He frees them, sets them at liberty. So if we feel any of this in our lives today, if we feel broken or crushed or hurt, look on to Jesus. He wants to heal you. We see here at the end of this that Jesus said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." You know, the thought I have today is today this scripture is still being fulfilled in our ears. This scripture is probably as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago when he first spoke. Yeah. And it was longer. He just repeated what he read out of Isaiah, so it's been around longer than that. You know, in the light of the many powerful testimonies that we were able to hear shared across this pulpit in the last few weeks, it is very evident that Jesus is still healing the brokenhearted. Let us put our cares upon him. Jesus is still delivering the captives. He's freeing us from bondage and sin. He is still giving sight to the blind. Let our eyes behold him. I didn't know if I would start sharing some of my testimony here. But his time is not going to allow it today. But I've not shared my testimony with many people lately. And that's something that a person should always be free and willing and eager to share. But I have some testimonies written down when I was first converted. And I have some things written there that I said, and some of them are recorded, that I don't agree with anymore. There is a place for spiritual growth. And my testimony would be not when I got converted. You know, I think we must repent. We must confess our sins, which I was able to do, and put them under the blood of Jesus Christ, which I was able to do. I don't think that has changed one bit. And the next morning when I woke up, the burden that had been my shoulder for 53 years was gone. It was gone. There was no condemnation. I did not feel any guilt. I did not feel anything like that in my... I did not have temptations. My flesh didn't tempt after anything. And I praise God that He did this. I was 53 years old, so He did a work within me. And I figured He did that because of my age. Well, I was ready to give up too. I was willing to confess my sins. I was done with that life. I didn't want any more of it. But as we learned from other people at that time, we didn't put much faith in any church guidance, any structure. And as we watched the churches fall away, that didn't have any of that. That's one of my bigger errors that I made back in those days. But, you know, the reason I chose this passage is I thought it might be encouraging to us this morning, because there is victory in Jesus. Jesus came to give us hope, a hope-filled life and victory over death and hell. And, you know, I'd like to take this time to encourage maybe the sisters first, that whenever you're caring for your family, when you're taking care of the sick child, whenever your daily chores, maybe you're trying to teach, and maybe somebody's not learning like you'd like to. You have meals to fix and washing to do, and the list goes on. But please remember that you're doing at this time what Jesus wants you to be doing at that time. Don't wish yourself someplace else or in some other setting or something like this. Just do with all your heart the things that Jesus has you doing at that time. It will be pleasing to Him. We got to remember that's what He has given us to do. So let's praise Him for it. Please take courage in knowing that He will be with you. And young men, old men too, I guess, likewise. Sometimes we're overwhelmed. We're just overwhelmed. Responsibilities are many. We have to provide for the family. We have to watch over. We have to care what direction they're going. We have the little lambs, and we also have to keep a sharp eye out on the sheep. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. But I too want to encourage you that whatever God has you doing today, do it with all your heart. Because that's what He has you doing. And it's His desire that you're doing it for His glory and for His honor. You know, a few weeks ago, we heard about John, and he had talked to us about a lot of different comes. And this is one of the comes that John mentioned. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If we trust in Him, He will give us rest. And our burden. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brothers and sisters, that we would trust in Jesus just like that. That we would put our burdens on Him, and that we would take His yoke that is easy and His burden that is light. Thank you for listening this morning. May God bless you.